We're going to read together, please, from Luke's Gospel, and I believe it will be on the screen as well, but if you would like to follow along, Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 13. Luke 12, beginning at verse 13. This is the word of the Lord. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Amen. We know God will bless his word to your hearts today. Well, good morning, everyone. Well, actually, it's just turned afternoon, but it's good to be with you here this morning. And Rodney, I appreciated you just leading that service through. That was a great help. Otherwise, by the time I would come to preaching, I think I might be in a heap on the floor. Now, ladies, it's not the man flu. If you've heard of the man flu, but when I get up this morning, as the man says, one day it all starts to click. Your neck, your back, your hips. And I kind of felt like that and still feel like that this morning. But I'm here, praise the Lord. Rodney would have had to get a sermon ready. My grandfather used to talk about keeping a sermon in the salt. Did you ever hear that expression before? You know, when you preserve meat in the salt. Well, he says, always keep a sermon in the salt. So some of you men here, get a sermon in the salt so you can be ready to call on at a moment's notice. And we thank you for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. I just want to mention one or two things that's on the table, and do avail yourself of them. Take that literature, just a few things that are coming up in the work of Faith Mission in this area. And we do appreciate your prayers and your support for us. It's hard to believe that Emma, myself, and the family have been now in this North Irish district a year next week. So it's hard to believe. The folks in Ballymena haven't kicked us out yet, but we're still in the day of grace, and God has been good to us and given us great opportunities to serve him. We thank the Lord that it is still day, and he has given us great opportunities to serve him. One new opening that we've had, and it seems like we could do with lots more workers. Some of you met Tim Foster, who spoke for you, I think, back in June. Tim got married in September and is now living and working with a church in Edinburgh. So we're down a man, and we feel it because it's a very, very busy district. I'm out basically every night of the week, and sometimes on weekends too, and so it is busy. And we'd love you to pray that God would even send more into our college and more into the work in these days, because there's lots to do, and you're never short of filling your diary, but we want to be about the Master's business. So a few things here this afternoon. Instead of having a nap, well, you could take a short nap if you want. Don't take it now in the next half hour, if that's all right. I'm far enough away to throw anything at you, so you're all right, okay? So this afternoon at 3:30 at Wood Green Faith Mission Hall, just out there at Shank Bridge, past the line bridge there, turn left, and there's a little Faith Mission Hall. We have our annual Harvest Thanksgiving at 3:30. Looking forward to the Reverend Noel Dara. Most of you should know Noel, and he's going to be bringing God's Word, and Michael and Hazel Saunderson are singing. So if you're free this afternoon, we'd love to have you along there at the Wood Green Harvest. There's a few of the little cards for that in the foyer. We began our Anchor Youth and Young Adults event, which is on the second Saturday of the month, and we started last night. We had the group Red Letter and Andrew Mullen sharing God's Word. We had a powerful night together, and we'd love you to pray as that continues each month. This is the little cards. If you fit into that young people's young adults category, we would love to have you along and encourage other young people to come from different areas. Even some come as far as Portadown area, and would love to see more local young folk joining us for our Anchor, which is held at the Faith Mission Centre. Really looking forward, the 20th to the 23rd of October, having our special outreach weekend at the Ross Park Hotel. Do take one of these, or take one or two, and invite folks along. We're beginning with a theme night on the story of Henry Ford. George Conn's doing that tractor night. We have a ladies' coffee morning, ladies, on the Friday morning with Catherine Campbell from Coleraine. And if you would like to come for that, we would need to know, just RSVP. You can let Emma know even this morning if you would like to come. So that's giving a list. We've got Pastor Val English sharing over the weekend as well. Really looking forward to our outreach weekend at the Ross Park Hotel. And then one other thing, this has just come out a few weeks ago, this is our latest prayer diary, and each day it gives you something something to pray for in the work of Faith Mission, whether it's here in Ireland, UK, wherever it might be. You can follow the work each day in your prayers. And there's a little map in the inside showing where all the different workers are in Faith Mission, so there's quite a number of those, and you can follow the work in prayer. We're turning, please, to Luke's Gospel again, chapter 12. We're just going to spend our closing moments on this morning, or today. Luke 12, and just before we look at this passage together, let's pause for a moment's prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we pray, just as we sang in that hymn together, open our eyes, that we may see wondrous things from your law. God, I pray that you would minister to each heart and each life today. Whatever our situation, whatever, Lord, the need of those that have gathered in, I pray, O God, you would meet that need according to the glorious riches that are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, that we would leave this place knowing we have met with the living God. Strengthen, Lord, my body, my mind, my heart, that I would speak the truth in love, and that all of us would not only be hearers, but doers of your word. For it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. Amen. I'd like to ask a question this morning. What is the essence of life? What is the essence of life? Or maybe I could make that more personal. What is the essence of your life? What are you truly living for? You know, in today's society, we hear a phrase so often, I want more. I want more. Never content. You know, we hear it from time to time, and we hear it as parents of young children. Daddy, mommy, I want this. I want that. And they tug in your coat when you're out in Tesco's or whatever it might be. Or you get to the checkout and you realize they've put things in your trolley that you didn't want or weren't looking. It's a bit like the lady one time when I was in Wales. I was studying theology there for a couple of years and working with a church. And I remember this lady saying, no, my daughter doesn't say, mommy, I want this. She says, mommy, I need this. I need this. It's like someone has said, we're living in a society of inextinguishable discontent. Basically sums up our world today, isn't it? We're living in a society of inextinguishable discontent. And we ask questions like, when is enough enough? Who sets the limits? Can I truly know contentment of heart and of life? And folks, this was the dilemma This is the dilemma that many people face in our what we would call materialistic age. And this was the same dilemma facing this inquirer that came to Jesus here in Luke 12, and also to the farmer, this parable we read in Luke 12. So what sets the scene? Well, very briefly here, let's do that. Jesus had been bombarded by the crowds. And that's no exaggeration, folks. Jesus was bombarded by crowds of people, and they were almost trampling on each other. It actually tells us that if you read at the beginning of Luke 12, if you have your Bible, Luke 12 verse 1, it says, "In the meantime, an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled on one another. He began to speak to his disciples first of all." And then we lead through to Jesus' parable here on the rich fool. So you see here, folks, something of the desire of people to get to hear Jesus. Isn't that a powerful thing? I wonder if Jesus was here today in 2016 and you announced that he was preaching in Ballymena Congregational Church next Sunday or whenever, would we see people trampling at the bit to get in to hear Jesus? You see, people knew there was something different about this man, and they wanted to hear. And Jesus here teaches on hypocrisy, and he rebukes it, even in, unfortunately, in the lives of some of his disciples. Not only that, does he talk about those that deny him and the consequences of it. And then in verse 13, into the story steps this man. And he comes forward from the crowd and he wants Jesus to settle the matter of his inheritance. It's like someone has said, where there's a will, there are relatives. It's true, isn't it? Where there's a will, there are relatives. Boys, they want to be there to get their share. This was this young man. There's no different here, because he asked Jesus to come to settle this matter. "Teacher," he says, "tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." He wanted his share. You know, I read this and my mind goes to a story I'm sure we know so well. The story of the prodigal son. You could all quote it, I'm sure, to me. And this man, I believe, is something like the prodigal son who came to his father one day and wanted and wanted the share of his inheritance. And he wanted it now. Now. Wasn't prepared to wait. In effect, you know what the prodigal son was saying to his father? "Father, I wish you were dead." That's in effect what he was saying. "I wish you were dead so that I could get my share of the inheritance." Because he was only concerned with his rights. My rights. Oh, I tell you, we hear a lot about it today. Put down the foot. My rights. I demand to get my rights. And this was this young man. "Teacher," he says, "tell my brother to settle and to divide the matter of inheritance with me." So instead of looking at his real need, he wants his rights. So how does Jesus respond? He responds like this, verse 14. "Man," it's interesting, calls him man. Because on a lot of occasions, Jesus speaks to people and he calls them son, daughter. He says, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And then he said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness," greed. "For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." You see, folks, Jesus was not going to get drawn in to this dispute over family inheritance when he knew that there was more important matters that were at stake. Jesus was not going to judge on these matters of inheritance, but rather Jesus was going to judge on much greater matters of life and death. That's what Jesus had come to speak to him about, not an inheritance. Now, maybe for you today, you're saying, well, Timothy, surely this was a matter of life or death. This man needed to get his inheritance. What are you talking about? Maybe he was short of a bit of dough. Well, if we're saying that, then folks, maybe like this man, we too have our priorities wrong. Jesus, as he looks into all of our hearts today, he saw into this man's heart and life. Why was he asking this question? Why was he asking this question of Jesus? And that is why, folks, Jesus goes on to warn here about greed and covetousness, because Jesus knew that the essence of life, and this is going back to the first question I asked in our message today, Jesus knew that the essence of life was not found in possessions, in stuff, or even wanting more stuff. But I wonder, does your life consist in that today? In what you have, in what you hold, in what you would like to have? You know, things that don't meet the need of your soul. It seems like that's what people seek after. Relationships. Oh, you know, if only I was in this certain relationship, I'd be content. I'd be happy. I would be complete. Or maybe people think today around the world, if only I was in this certain religion or group of people, then that's what will really meet the need of my heart. Going through the rituals, whatever it might be of the religious affiliation that people might have. Or maybe people's works, their possessions. They're thinking, well, that's my real need, to have and to hold all of this stuff. But you know what happens, folks? And this is a solemn reminder to us today, is that these things, they become a substitute, and a very poor substitute, for the proper object of man's worship. And what is the proper object of man's worship? It is God. It's the one true living God. And it is found only in and through God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we let these things take over, then, as Paul speaks of in Colossians 3 and 5, he says, therefore, put to death your members. Now, folks, that's not talking about members in your church. All right, don't be thinking that. I don't want to hear anything in the Ballymena Guardian this week. Put to death your members. This is in your life, in your soul, which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Idolatry. Now, you're maybe thinking, well, Timothy, hold a minute. We're living in the 21st century. We're living in Northern Ireland. There's no such thing as idolatry, surely. Are you alive today? We see it all around us, and if we're not careful, it will creep into our lives, even as believers. That's why Jesus said, and he made it very clear, one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Be very, very careful that we do not slip into the door of idolatry. Because sin will make us long for more and more and more. And you know what? It will leave us empty. It will leave us dissatisfied, wanting more, and never ever be satisfied. Because as we will sing later, there's none but Christ, folks, that can satisfy. Hallelujah. Jesus here wants to make sure that this man gets the big picture. And so, as always, Jesus turns to a parable. You've probably learned it in Sunday school, or maybe it's taught today. Parable is that earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And it's a good summary of it. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning, because these events that Jesus spoke of in this parable of the rich farmer are so true to life, they could actually happen. Now, I'm the son of a farmer. I've maybe told you that before. And you do not say to a farmer, "Ugh, these farmers, they're broke." Have you ever heard of a broke farmer? Absolutely not. They always have money somewhere stashed. It was a bit like a guy, he says he kept it under his pillow because he says, like every good captain goes down with a ship, he thought it was better underneath the pillow. Maybe your pillow's getting high today. That's where your money is. But so often, we think of this parable and we think, that doesn't apply to me. But just listen as we run through it. This farmer had done very well for himself, without a doubt. And his ground had yielded a great harvest. Just like last week, you were celebrating it, thinking about the harvest being brought in. He had not been lazy. Absolutely not. He hadn't been sitting on his laurels, as we would say. He had gone in, he had prepared the ground, the seed had to be sown. However, folks, the problem was this. This man had sown to himself. This man had sown to himself, and God was not in the picture. There's no mention of God here, is there? It's all about me, myself, and I. Just listen very briefly. I will do this, verse 18. I will pull down my barns. I'll build greater. I will. It's all about I, isn't it? The I disease. I will store for all my crops and my goods. I, boys, I tell you, I will say to my soul, soul, you've many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But this man didn't realize that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Isn't that right? Who had sent the rain? Who had sent the sun to make his crops grow? It was God. It was God. And that's what Paul reminds us in the letter to the Galatians, chapter 6, 7, and 8. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows in the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows in the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Yes, it's true, isn't it? The law of the harvest, you reap what you sow. You sow a pear tree, a seed of a pear tree, what's going to grow? A pear tree, or you're hoping that's what it'll be. Same with an apple, orange, whatever it might be. We reap what we sow. And if today we, like this man, are living for the day, we're just living for ourselves and with no thought of eternity, then, unfortunately, the Bible makes it clear there in Galatians, we will reap corruption. As Jesus said in the part of Matthew's Gospel, that Sermon on the Mount, where he said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust will not destroy. And listen, you're living in a world, as you know, moth, rust, things decay. Doesn't matter how many times you'll clean the car and polish it up and keep it, eventually it'll rot. It'll decay. And even our bodies as well. That's why the Bible makes it very clear that the wages or the payment of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. Now, this farmer, he had a great problem on his hands. I'm sure it was a problem that many farmers today would like to have, a problem that he had too much harvest. If you know anything about farming, you realize in the wet years, sometimes it's a struggle to bring in the crops and the silage and haylage and whatever needs to be brought in. I remember with my father one time bringing in round bales and the water pouring out of them. It was so wet. He had too much harvest. He had no room to store his crops. And of course, expansion was called for. Now, I need to pause just for a moment here, folks, and explain this. Now, the issue here was not necessarily the problem of building and expanding. That's not the real issue. Yes, expansion was called for. He worked hard, without a doubt. And the Bible speaks to us about working hard and laboring and not being idle. In Job, not being slothful. But the issue was this. He wanted more of what he hadn't got. And he wasn't content until he got it. I'll say that again. He wanted more of what he hadn't got, and he wasn't content until he got it. It's all about himself. And you know, Psalm 127 reminds us, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Is the Lord today building your house? Are you allowing him to build your life? Is your life been built on that foundation, which is in Christ Jesus? Because folks, the reality is this, if you build on anything or anyone else apart from Christ, it's like that house on the sand. It's like those houses in Haiti and on the east coast of Florida. Gone. In an instant. In a moment, it's all gone. It reminds me of the story I heard a while ago about a young girl. And her father was a chronic complainer. Now, men, I hope you're not in that category today. I'm sure you're not. But her father was a chronic complainer. And one evening they were sitting at the dinner table. And the girl, the wee girl, she proudly announced, she says, "You know what? I know what everybody in my family likes. I know what they all like." So she proceeded to go round the table to her brother and her sisters and said, "Johnny, you like burgers. Jane, you like iced cream. Jimmy, you like pizza. And Mummy, you love chicken. Oh, you really do." So her dad, he's sitting there and nothing's forthcoming here about her dad. So he said, "Well, what about me?" And so the little girl thought for a moment. She says, "What does Daddy like?" And then very innocently she said this, "Daddy, you like everything you haven't got. You like everything you haven't got." I wonder, is that the case for you today? Never truly content. Because folks, no earthly gain, no earthly possessions can fill the void in your life that only Jesus Christ can fill. I think it was Pascal who once said that in each human being there is a God-shaped void. And if you try to fill your life with anything apart from God through Christ by his Holy Spirit, you will discover, like this rich farmer, that you're a fool. And you will end your life in a Christless eternity. Because folks, Jesus came that you would have life. And that you would have it to the full. And that's why the Bible says we must decide today, who are we going to follow? Are we going to follow God? Or are we going to follow the world? Or follow ourselves like this farmer was doing? Because Luke 16 tells us we cannot serve two masters. We can't do it. I like what Matthew Henry said on this. He said, "The things of this world will never satisfy the desires of a soul." The things of this world will never satisfy the desires of your soul. But the tragedy is so many people want to fill their lives with things that do not and cannot satisfy. And the unfortunate thing here that this man was not content until he had more. Yet, we read here in this parable that he was happy to just sit back and forget about the real matter in hand. And what was that? The real matter was eternity. Eternity. He says, "Soul," verse 19, "you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry." He could now live at ease with all of his crops. He could pat himself on the back and say, "Boys, what a great job I have done. What a great job I have done." In a sense, this man rewrote the first catechism. I don't know if you have learnt it or it's learned today. And I grew up in the Presbyterian Church outside Dungannon. We learnt the catechism. Now, unfortunately, I don't remember all of the catechisms. I would need to be revised a bit in my mind. But that first one, I trust we know. What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But this man rewrote the catechism. Yes, he rewrote the catechism. Listen, this is how his catechism would have written or would have read. Man's chief end is to glorify himself and to enjoy his stuff forever. That would have been his catechism. Man's chief end is to glorify himself and to enjoy his stuff and his achievements and his goods forever. But this was not the end. Because God gives the final verdict. Do you notice that? God has the final say here. Just like in all of our lives, God had the final say. And God said to him, "Fool." Fool. Nobody likes to be called a fool, do they? "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?" He was no longer a rich farmer. You know who he was now? He was a rich fool. And the word of God tells us in Matthew 16:26, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses or forfeits his soul?" His life was now being demanded of him, and the goods that he had would be lost. They'd be left behind. Someone else would get them. You've heard the phrase, "We enter this world with a closed fist, and we leave it with an empty hand." We entered with a closed fist. You watch a little child being born, those fists clenched. But we leave it with an empty hand. You see, it wasn't even what this man would leave behind that was the problem. But it was what lay before him. An eternity without God. That's the tragedy, folks. That's what lay before him, an eternity before God, because he lived to please himself. It's like someone who asked a minister one time, they said, "Reverend, can you tell me when's the best time to get right with God?" And the minister turned to him and said, "A minute before you die." And he thought, "What? But I don't know when I'm going to die." And the minister says, "Exactly, get right with God now, today." The Bible makes it clear, today, if you hear God's voice, don't turn away, don't harden your heart, but turn while the Savior in mercy is calling. And folks, I'm here to tell you today, which I'm sure you've heard from this pulpit before, that Jesus has made it gloriously possible. Hallelujah. He has made it gloriously possible that you and I can be right and acceptable to God through his sacrificial death on the cross. Like the hymn puts it, there was no other good enough. No, nobody else. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. Jesus only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. But have you gone? Have you gone by the way of the cross? Folks, that's the only way. It's the only hope. Not only for time, but it's the only hope for eternity. This farmer and this young man were going to be held accountable for living as they pleased, and not, as Jesus said in verse 21, and not being rich toward God. Because that's what really counts. Now you're thinking, "Well, Timothy, does that mean I have to put more money in the offering plate? Give more to charity?" No. You can do that. Sell all your possessions. Yes, if you feel you need to do that, you do that. But that's not what it is to be rich toward God. And the question we ask is, if we're rich toward God, is this: where is your treasure today? Is it like that fellow that lived up the road from us under the pillow? Is that where your treasure is? Is your treasure in a bank? Boys, the banks are safe, aren't they? Where's your treasure today? That house? Two cars in the driveway? Maybe the bank owns half of them. I don't know. But where is your treasure? Because folks, if it is not in Christ, then you will not only spend your life, but you will spend eternity realizing you have missed out. Hell is a place of missed opportunities. What does your life really consist of today, folks? We read in verse 15 once, life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And can I tell you today as I close that the only possession that counts for time and for eternity is Jesus Christ. Can you say today, I am his and he is mine? I've been bought with the precious blood of Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that your word is absolutely true. With a confidence today in your word. And I know, Lord, of myself, I am a weak and a feeble host in a sense, and I have nothing to give. But Lord, whatever you have said to the people today in this church, I pray, Lord, that you would impress it deep upon their hearts. And Lord, that they would realize that there's none but Christ that can satisfy. Wherever they stand before you today, Lord, that they would realize, like Paul who said, I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I trust for each one here that that would be true, that they found that contentment in Christ and in Christ alone. Be with us. Continue to minister through us and to us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.